Good morning. How's everybody doing? Cool. Well, I'm Chris Ball, the multimedia director out here, and just glad to be here with you this morning. And we are continuing on with our series, Be Transformed. All right, and so before we can really know God truly, and before, you know, we can even know ourselves and the purpose that we have for our life, we need to go through some sort of transformation process. You know, that's what this series is all about. It's trying to give us, you know, how do we do this? How do we transform our lives to be able to find out these things about ourselves? And so last week, you know, we started off this series by, you know, talking about reconnecting with God. You know, and so we said that, you know, we are broken people, you know, that we have, you know, issues in life that have separated us from God. But it's something where, you know, God has come in and he made the first move, you know, to restore and provide the opportunity to reconnect with him, to have relationship once more. You know, he did this through Christ and through the cross. You know, he made this available. But then we said, you know, for us to have authentic relationship, it needs to be two-sided. You know, or something where, like, we are investing in that. We are saying, you know what, for God did something, you know, to make his end of the deal. But now, you know, I can pour into it and I can invest in this relationship myself. And so really the first move, you know, this series is from Romans 12. All right. And so, you know, Romans 1 through 11 was all what God did for us. But now in Romans 12, it is our response to this. You know, how do we respond to what God has done for us? And so the first thing that Paul talks about was, you know, God desires us handing our lives over to him. You know, so it was that trade-up concept. You know, this thing of we are taking our broken lives and placing them in God's hands, but it's a trade-up. It's something that we are, you know, trading in something broken for something whole, a lot better. But then when we take that step and when we place our lives in God's hands, what happens is, you know, then it's about renewing our minds. You know, there's things in our life that they're not helping the relationship. So it's a matter of saying, you know, I'm going to intentionally set my mind on the things, you know, that God desires. You know, so like there's things in our flesh and in our sin, you know, that are hostile to God and actually, you know, they hinder the relationship. You know, so it's about being intentional and saying, you know, I value this relationship, so I'm going to choose to set my mind on things that God desires. And what happens is in doing that, you know, we find, you know, that God honors that and we are pleasing to him. And, you know, but this is really about, we closed out with saying, you know, when you begin laying down your life, when you begin renewing your mind, what happens is it positions you to be able to receive God's will, you know, to know, you know, what's pleasing to him. You know, what are the good things and the perfect things that he can do in our life? And, you know, it's a starting point. But today we are moving beyond this and saying, you know, what's next? Because this Roman series, it's all about people that are taking transformation seriously. You're saying, you know what? Like, if there is more in life, you know, that God has for me, I want to discover it. So this is for people that say, you know what? Even my relationship with God, if there's more to discover, I want it. And so as we move on here and Paul begins laying out the thing of what's next, you know, what is the next step for us? He says, you know, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, you know, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. And so he starts off here and he's giving a caution. You know, don't think of yourselves, you know, wrongly. You know, make sure that you are thinking about yourselves accurately. So he cautions, but then he encourages you to think about yourself accurately. And so really, let's just look at what it is to think too highly of yourself. You know, it's almost like those people that are real puffed up. You know, have you seen like one of those puffer fishes? You know, they blow themselves up to be something other than what they are, you know, to be something bigger than what they are. But then also, too, you know, we might be able to relate to this one a little bit more. You know, when we think too highly of ourselves, it's like those people or us when we look in the mirror and we think, you know, we are Joe Cool, you know, like we are the stuff, we are Rico Suave, you know, it's something that when we carry that attitude out into our lives, it's almost like there's this theme music playing as we walk around and do our life that is just playing, you know, and it's just like you can't help but just like, you can't just walk naturally, you have to, you know, you have to get a little bit of a, you know, a little swag in the shoulder and, you know, even look around, just kind of brushing yourself off a little bit. You know, that's it's just we're puffing ourselves up, you know, to be something bigger than what we are. But the thing is with that, you know, why is he calling that out? Why is that a bad thing? Well, it's pride. You know, you basically, when we do that, when we elevate ourselves, you know, to this place of superiority, it's at the detriment of you are lowering everybody else. Now, you are superior, but everybody else is just, they're kind of down there. They're not on your level. So that's thinking too highly, but wouldn't the opposite, you know, they're thinking too lowly as well. You know, people who think too lowly, they're the ones who, you know, they just feel like they're not important. And so, you know, I'm never going to talk or share anything because my ideas, they're not important. And so these people, they actually, it's almost like they crawl down on the floor and they just let everybody walk over top of them because they're not worthy to stand with anybody else. You know, the insecurities, feeling insignificant, you know, whatever it is. And so with pride, it's almost like we bubble up, you know, and God has to pop our bubble to get us back down. But with our thinking too lowly about ourselves, where God has to reach down and pull us back up to get us to that place of being in the middle. And I think each of us tends toward one of these extremes, you know, or, you know, there's one of these areas that comes more naturally to us. But, you know, we're humans, so we kind of ride the wave, the roller coaster of these things. Sometimes we're the Mac Daddy, and sometimes we're smacked out on the floor. You know, it's a reality that we're dealing with here. You know, so how do we think about ourselves accurately? You know, he's commanding us that we need to think about ourselves accurately. And you see, to really, you know, think of ourselves accurately, we have to know who we are. You know, so we're forced to deal with that question of saying, who are we? And so, you know, I came face to face with this one summer. You know, I was working with a bunch of middle schoolers from church. And, you know, it's just like, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. You know, if you've been around that age group, like, they're awesome in the energy, but then sometimes, you know, you want to kill them. And so, you know what, serving and working with them one summer, and after one of the camp meetings, this boy came up to me and he said, hey, you know, can we talk? And so we pull aside and we go up on this hillside to talk. And as we're sitting there, you know, the look on his face was really intense. So it's like, uh-oh, like this is kind of serious. But he looks at me right dead in the eyes and he says, I don't know who I am. And it struck me back because I'm like, wow, how honest is that? How real and how transparent is this boy being? You know, because the thing is, when we look at our lives, we have such a hard time defining ourselves. You know, it's something that we're constantly trying to figure out. But, you know, he was so honest with it, about this thing that we all deal with. But really, that is the question, you know, like even for ourselves, you know, for you, who are you really? You know, if I was to strip away your name and I was to strip away your occupation, you know, at the core of who you are, who are you really? What makes you who you are? It's hard. That's a hard one to answer. I mean, how do you get at that when you really start looking at self? And so I started doing some research, and I came across this thing. It's called Rules for Self-Discovery. And I thought it was very helpful at just narrowing it down and getting to that place, digging beneath the surface to what makes you who you are. It's a series of questions. So, you know, what we want most. So what are the things that we want most? What do we think about most? How we use our money? What we do with our leisure time? The company we enjoy? Who and what we admire? And, you know, what we laugh at? What are these things, you know, that make up what the answers to those questions? It starts narrowing it down to who you are. But really, that's merely a diagnostic tool. I mean, it fails, I think, to adequately capture who you are. It does a good job of saying, you know, what you desire, right? You know, those are things that you desire. If you, you know, how you spend your money, you know, it's you invest in the things that you desire. But aren't we more than just our desires? Isn't there some sort of self, you know, this deeper, the core of who we are? And I believe there is. I believe there is a self that is on the other side of our desires. And so what we need to do is we need to start at the surface and begin working our way down. You see, what we do is the starting point for discovering who we are. And so it works like this. It's like we start at the top, which is our actions. We start saying, going down, and we say, every action is produced by a motive. But every motive comes from a desire. And on the other side of that desire is self. All right, so for all you people that are really into, you know, those crime dramas on TV and or Law and Order, you know, shows like that, it never fails that when you're watching these shows, this question always comes up in the courtroom. What was the motive? You know, why was this heinous act done? You know, what was the motive for doing this? You know, so there was an action, but there was some sort of motive that brought it about. But then as the episode goes on, it becomes uncovered that, well, it was jealousy or it was revenge. It was a desire that prompted this. And at the end of that, we see the person, you know, this person for who they are, you know, that it would take this type of person to be able to do this action. You know, so it's a way of being able to even analyze our actions, you know, every one of our actions. You know, you wake up in the morning, you make some toast. I mean, something, let's pick something random. Why did you make that toast? It came from a motivation. You were hungry. Maybe you like toast. You know, the desire for toast, but then it reveals something about yourself. Well, that you're human, that you like toast. I mean, let's not get too deep with it, all right? But, you know, it's a nice little formula, but it's still incomplete, okay? You know, it's a way of, I can kind of trace things back, and it tells me a little bit about myself, but really, I'm not going to walk out of here and post on Facebook, I found myself at church today, you know, as a result of this formula. Well, why is this? And I think the answer is this. To get to the heart of who we are, really, you know, who we are, we have to go back to our origin. You know, where did we start? Because the two options with our origin will drastically change how we view self. All right? On one hand, either we were created by someone or something, and just the fact that we were created, the action of creating something, you know, it stemmed from a desire. You know, so there's purpose in our life. You know, that we wouldn't have been made if there wasn't a purpose or if there's, you know, value that whoever made us saw that we needed. Or, you know, we just simply exist. We're just here. And we are left up to ourselves to be able to create purpose and create value for ourselves because it's not been defined. You know, either we are defined or we define ourselves. And it's almost with this option, it's just like your life is a sandcastle, all right? And it's something that you go and you can build your best purpose and you can define yourself the best way you can and create value for yourself. But at the end of the day, those waves are going to come and wash away your life. And did it really mean anything? It was just something that stood for a while and was gone. You see, if it's not true, it's not sustainable. But I think as we begin looking at our lives, that there's things that tell of making, you know, that prove of making, that we have a sense inside of us that we do have value, you know, that interwoven into our creation and design, we feel value. And so this really comes out when you're driving in a car, all right? When you're driving and somebody comes and zips in front of you or somebody is tailgating you, I mean, just the rage that you get just when that person does that. I mean, I've never been more mad in my life. And even all you good Christian folks, you're throwing things up in your hands that, you know, let's be real here, you know. There's a part of yourself that just gets so angry. Why is that? You know, it's because you're sitting there and you say, you know what? I got a busy schedule too. You know, why is this guy in such a rush? You know, my life is just as hectic as him. You know, and just what happens is why by them cutting you off, what it's saying is, you know, they're saying, hey, I'm more valuable than you. You know, that my life is a priority above yours. But what we get angry because we say, you know, I am valuable. You know, there's something inside of us that communicates value, that we deserve value, respect. It's built into us. But more than that, you know, even just purpose. You know, we do feel that there's purpose, that there is something in our life. You know, as we start looking inside and asking these questions, it's like there's something to be discovered. It's like purpose is in there and it's just screaming out, it's just saying, find me, you know, search me out. There is a purpose for my life. I know it's there. But we look so long and hard trying to find that purpose and it often eludes us. you know, we just can't connect up with it. And so this isn't a message. I'm not trying to prove the existence of God, you know, the or maker or whatever the thing is. But, you know, because we're in Romans 12 right now, all right? And so in Romans 12, these are people that have already made a decision for God. These are people that you've been made, and you're embarking on that journey. But the reason I even talk about the fact that we are made is because, you know, because we are made, there will always be a part of ourself that will remain empty until we meet our maker. Just think about that. You know, we see these shows on TV of, you know, people that have never met their fathers before. You know, they've gone their whole lives. Maybe they met them when they're young, but it's been years and the father's been out of the picture. You know, and so here's this person, maybe 30 years old, and on the show, they do this big buildup of an episode until the final moment, the reunion, the reconnecting. And right before they reconnect, they always pull that person over to the side and say, you know, why? Why do you even want to meet this person? This person's not even been around. Why does this matter so much to you? And the answer's the same every time. And they say, this person is a part of me. You know, half of what I am is this person. In my whole life, I just feel like there's a piece of my identity that I've never been able to connect with, because just the, you know, this person was a huge part of who made me. And so we don't even know our identity unless we meet this father figure. You see, we must first know God truly before we can truly know ourselves. Because, I mean, if God made us, you know, to really understand ourselves, there's always going to be that hole unless we really know God truly. You know, and when we got to sit down and be able to discover and have that encounter with him to ask the tough questions of saying, who are you? You know, this person that is part of who I am, who are you? You know, why do you do what you do? What do you desire? You know, tell me about yourself. It's like that meeting, sitting down with him. Why does this matter? It matters because what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Just think about that. It's the most important thing about us, how we think about God. Why is this? It's because it's so fundamental to who we are. Because if for us to even know ourselves, we have to know God accurately. You know, if we never get to meet him, then our whole life begins. We're making decisions off of an incomplete picture. You know, it's almost going back to that formula of, you know, there's self. And so at our self, if there's that piece missing, then our desires, they're going to be off if we don't have a correct view of who God is. And then our motivations are going to be off. Then ultimately our actions. And so that's why we find ourselves in the situation that we're in, that oftentimes the actions in our life are not pleasurable. You know, we get ourselves in some messes. But if we trace it back, we see that a lot of it goes from at the core. We don't have an accurate picture of who God is when we don't even really know who God is. You know, so we have to go and meet with our maker. So what happens when you finally get that moment where, you know, the show comes and the reunion comes, and in there you're face to face finally with this God who made you, the Father that made you, and you get to hear and say, okay, you know, who are you? But then you get to ask the questions of saying, who am I? Who have you made me to be? Do I have purpose? Is there a reason that you made me beyond just myself? Is there something that I should be doing? And I think that we're really startled with what we hear back from God. You know, that God looks us dead in the eyes and he just says, you know what? Even before you were born, I thought about you. You know, even before I made you, I had a plan for your life, and it was something, even your life is desirable to me. You know, just thinking about, you know, it's the way I would shape you and design you, your personality, all these things, oh, it's brilliant. You know, I'm so happy with who you are. But even as I looked down the timeline of your life, I saw all the bumps in the road. You know, even before I made you, I saw all the things that you would do. You know, and I even saw how you'd turn your back on me and how you'd continually make poor decisions. But it was something, the thing that I was placing inside you and the person I was making you to be was worth it. You know, in Christ, we're going to deal with all your bumps. But really, I have something inside of you for you to discover that's worthwhile. You have purpose. It's almost like in the realization of this, that we are loved in our flaws and that we have purpose, what happens is our eyes are opened and we begin to see that, wow, we get to see the world differently now. Like literally the thing that was missing becomes clear. And I don't know if you've ever witnessed somebody that's gained sight, but you know, one summer I was doing mission work in Mexico and we were with a medical mission team. I was doing videography and these people had never had access to glasses. You know, so a lot of the people, you know, how their eyes worked, that's what they got. And so there was this older lady, you know, that probably had never been, you know, had glasses. And so we sat there and we got to try out these different pairs. And so she tried on several kinds. And we finally got this pair. And when she put it on, like this real slow smile just began to creep across her face. Like one of those smiles that comes from real deep down inside of you. Because for the first time in her life, her world changed. It was like you saw the world in a way that you didn't even know was possible. I've been missing out on this all these years. And so the whole time that we were there, the smile was there the whole week because she was just beaming because something changed. She was able to see differently. And so what happens is when our eyes are opened, you know, when we meet with our Father and we learn about ourselves and our eyes are opened, how we see the world transforms, how we see God. You know, God is no longer the mysterious guy in the sky, but he's one that's personal and one that is engaged and one that actually wants to be in a committed relationship with us. We see ourselves differently. You know, even though we're broken, you know, we've made a mess of things. We see that it doesn't disqualify us. But actually God, he's not fazed by that. And his purpose for our lives, you know, if he made us even seeing those things, then they definitely don't disqualify us. We have value. We have a purpose that supersedes or goes above anything that we can do to disqualify it. It even changes how we view others. Just think about, you know, how we view others now. We're constantly judging and we're constantly sizing people up. You know, we're elevating ourselves in pride above others, but then we're also belittling ourselves in front of others as well. You know, it's a constant comparison game. And so really, as we begin to be able to see others accurately, it becomes something where we can't judge because we're like, man, we're all in this together. And we're all in the same boat. We're all a bunch of mess ups, but, you know, but we have value. And so it actually allows you to show compassion and to be able to give people the benefit of the doubt and love them in a way that you never could before. But beyond this, it opens up our eyes to see that we are bigger than ourselves. You know, that we have a purpose that is beyond just our lives. You see, God is saying, you know what? It's not, I didn't just save you for a relationship, but I want you to be doing something. I have a great role for your life. And as we read on here in Romans, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." You see, this body that he's talking about, that we are part of a body, it's the church. It's for whoever has, you know, accepted the gift of salvation that God has. You have been grafted into this incredible church. You know, it's amazing to think, and the body is led, and the head of this body is Christ, and Christ is unifying us all together, you know, in this body for his purposes and guiding and steering our lives in a way. Yes, it's blessing our lives individually, but as a whole, there's a bigger picture at work in Christ. You know, but really it's all about who is leading that body. And I got a good example of this. You know, as of yesterday, you know, we went whitewater rafting with some of the guys at the church. You know, I just want to start off from the very beginning and mention that we were the only raft that didn't flip over and get washed down. So, you know, take that, guys. But the other guys that were there, you know, as they were going down the river, you know, the thing to navigate that river and the white water successfully is you got to be working together. You know, you got to be steering that thing because when you're in like in a class 4 rapid, there's no other choice. If you're not in unison, you're going to be out of there. And so one of the boats, that's what happened to them. You know, we look back and half the guys were floating down the river bouncing off rocks. And then actually the other boat, the guide, they got this thing called Rafter's Revenge. If you make the rafter or the guide mad, they'll actually intentionally flip you over on the rapid. So the other group of guys, that's what happened with them. But our guide, it was amazing. Like, he was this old army veteran guy, you know, he's been on the river for years. And so he knows all, you know, all the cautions and all the things to look out for. And so, you know, something that, you know, if we were just to go down that river on our own, just me and my crew, we'd have been toast, I'm telling you, because, I mean, like, we would have flipped and not known where to go down. But since this guy had his expert knowledge, he was able to steer us and lead us down that river in a way, you know, that kept us safe. But also it required, he had to work with us and lead us. And, you know, it was almost like two strokes forward on the right. And so that'd be my role. And so I'd have to do that. And to the extent that we could function together as a team, listening to the one with the knowledge of the river, we made it through. You know, and so we made it through. And it was a great time, too, and we had bragging rights. And so, but leaving out of there, you know, the difference it made was just the head that we were under. You know, the leadership and the power. Just think about the church, the body of Christ, too. You know, just the ruffians that we are, you know, and somehow under the leadership of Christ and the head of Christ, you know, God can still do something great with us. It's like, okay, well, that's cool. You know, we're in a body, but we still haven't got to that place of purpose. You know, going back, what is my purpose? I'm in a body of Christ. You know, I'm in Jesus, but what am I supposed to be doing? What's for me? How am I designed? And so for some of you, you might be saying, well, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time, and maybe I just don't have a role, or maybe I'm some weird body part, you know, like the tailbone. You know, it's like, it's just kind of there, you know? And so, are you guys cool with using your imagination this morning? Okay, we got Billy down there. Is there everybody else? I mean, can we get some imagination going? All right, so we're going to use our imagination. And so, we all heard of Neil Armstrong. He's kind of a big deal. He walked on the moon, you know. So Neil Armstrong, the guy that walked on the moon, just imagine that you are his tailbone. All right? Hang with me. And so, you know, this, you are Neil Armstrong's tailbone. And so it's like, oh, great. You know, it's not really too glamorous. You know, I'd rather be his feet, the thing that's walking on the moon, but you're his tailbone, right? And so, you know, you can probably do without it. I mean, you can cut that thing out of there and he's still going to live. But did you know that the tailbone is actually a connection point in the back where many ligaments and muscles and tendons join together? But furthermore, just the fact of me sitting here right now, the tailbone serves as a key support as well for back support when you're sitting down. So just imagine the amount of sitting it takes to become an astronaut. As you're studying, you know, what it takes, what do you need to learn to go to space? You know, you're sitting there for hours learning about astronomy and the physics that's going to take for all this, years. You know, so that's a lot of sitting. And also just imagine too, you know, the ride to space. You're going to the moon. You know, that's gonna be a little bit of a drive. That's not just jumping down there to pals. You know, you gotta ride for a little bit. And so you finally make it there to the moon. And so just imagine how different the story would be without his tailbone. You know, the story we know is, you know, he valiantly jumps out of that spaceship and, you know, one small step for mankind and is heroic and places that thing down. Without his tailbone, his back would be so sore. He'd kind of come hobbling out of that lunar thing and just be like, he'd be the first man to hobble on the moon. You know, it's not really the proudest moment for America right there, guys. And so, but the purpose is, of this nice little illustration, is that everybody matters in the body of Christ. Whatever parts you have, you matter, and all the other parts are dependent on you. Just that small part that we would think insignificant, if it was missing, would have ruined that whole historic moment. It wouldn't have been the same. No, so you have a purpose. It's just about discovering your purpose. As we read on here, we see that Paul says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion of his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Okay, so those are cool. You know, he's laying out these different things, but how do we find which is ours? You know, where do we find ours? And I mean, this is just a short list. There's many more parts. And, you know, and I think that for a practical thing, you know, just to equip you guys is saying, you know, what do you desire? You know, I believe that the role that God equipped us in is in step with our desires. It's something that when we do it, it triggers desire inside of us. So if it's serving, you know, the people that serve out here, the main reason they do it is because when they serve somebody else, they're fulfilled. There's joy that happens there because they were wired for that. You know, if it's encouraging, you know, when you encourage somebody that's down, just to see their face turn around, it's something, nothing more or gives you better joy than that. You know, maybe that's, you know, an area that God has gifted you in. It's part of your purpose. But, you know, there's also a part of personal responsibility as well, just saying we got to search it out. This is a discovery process. And so at least from the church standpoint here, you know, I got to take some of the classes, like the spiritual gifts class and then the Strengths Finders class. And I know for me personally, those were things that really helped me in my pursuit of discovering my purpose and my role, because I begin to see how I'm wired, you know, the things, the strengths that I have, and they help narrow it down and say, okay, this works, but this doesn't. You know, so, but finding our fit, why would you want to embark on this journey of discovery, you know, to see why you were made, to see the purpose, finding your fit? And it's this: the body of Christ operates in interdependent unity to accomplish a purpose beyond the scope of any individual part. The body of Christ is to function as a team or a family for the reality of the life of Christ to be manifest in its family into the watching world. You matter. It's about interdependent unity, that you have something to offer, that the purpose of your life can be contributed, and we need it. The body needs it to function. But what happens as a church body, we are filled up and we are encouraged by this unity. But it's something too, when the world sees this, they can't help but notice it. You see, when the church is united, we see Jesus. We see Jesus begin to manifest in a way, and he becomes tangible to us. And something last week really resonated me on this topic. And as I finished up speaking, and after church, there's a couple that goes to this church, and they found out some hard news recently. You know, they got a diagnosis. And so they began the process of sorting through it and just seeing what the journey's going to be. You know, and I'm expecting, you know, for such hard news, just to say, man, they probably just want prayer, or, you know, they're probably going to, you know, tell about their concerns. But to my surprise, the thing that they had to talk about, the thing that was most significant, was just saying, you know what? We can't believe how the people of this church have come around us now, how they've been here and how they've been serving us, and how they've been encouraging us in this time where we just really needed support. And the words that they said was, you know, it's literally like the hands and feet of Jesus have been coming into our lives. That, you see, when the body of Christ is operating in unity, Jesus is revealed. And to them, it became so tangible. You know, it literally was, you know, God influencing those people to meet the needs of those that couple. And so they actually started a list to write down their blessings, because they were just so encouraged and by seeing God work through people, the church. And so closing out of here today, it's all about transformation. You know, this transforming into the people that you want to be. I mean, the whole series, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to encourage to say, you know what? Find out who you are. Know yourself, because like we said, you can't even know your purposes until you know yourself. But then as you start asking those questions and begin to look at who you are, you see that we can't even know ourselves until we know God. But not only knowing God, but knowing him truly. For us to truly know God, we can truly then know ourselves. You know, but then as we go and we meet our Father face to face, when we finally have this big reunion moment where we get to sit down and ask those questions, and figure out where we came from. Do we have purpose? We hear that we do. You know, that we are valued, that we have worth, and that we have a purpose. And our world begins to become clear, like that woman when she put on that glasses. And that slow smile begins to creep across our face, because we begin to see the world clearly. We see God clearly. And we see ourselves clearly. Like I said, that we are broken, but we still have value, we still have purpose. We see others clearly. And then with our clear vision now, we have what we need to be able to move forward discovering our purpose. It's a process. I mean, it's something as you begin engaging this journey, you might do a whole variety of things, but as you engage it and as you run after it, God begins to narrow it down and you become to develop more confidence in who you are. You start to know yourself. And you start to be fulfilled in your purpose. And it's almost like going back to that rafting thing, you know, and just knowing that, you know, when we engage this, when we jump in that boat with Jesus, the cool thing is that we start off on an adventure. You know, like before, we were just tumbling down that river on our own. There wasn't even the hope. But when he pulled us in that raft and gave us a role, we begin to navigate these big currents of life. We're no longer thrown out. And we might be thrown out, but we got a good crew, so they're going to pull us back in. And so the purpose of this is being able to navigate, you know, things in life that we never would have been able to without Jesus steering that thing. And as a team and as a crew, as we just, we listen on what he's saying in unity, we're going through there. We're pushing through these rapids. And at the end of it, that's where we're slapping high fives because life is no longer beating us up. But we are operating and we are being fulfilled in the life that we were created to live. That's what transformation is all about. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much for this message. Lord, this message has the biggest implications, I know, in my life and in my journey. And I'm not there, you know. I don't even know myself fully. But from the times that I have sat down with you, I know that it's built a confidence. And I have a better awareness of who I am as a result of knowing who you are and seeing you clearly. And God, in my, as my eyes have been opened, I pray, God, that you would just continue just to open up people's eyes here too. God, that they would be able to discover that their life has meaning, that it has value, that it has purpose. And when we can discover that, Lord, our world begins to change and we begin to see attack focused and we can be intentional, God, with what you got. And so I pray that you would inspire this message, God, and you just allow the thoughts just to continue to mold in people's minds tonight as they start asking, who am I? And asking who you are. And I pray that they would move forward in discovering who they are because you are at stake, God. Your manifesting through us is at stake. You encouraging. God, do what only you can do in the hearts and minds of the people here today. We thank you. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, we'll have deacons here at the front. You know, if something in this message just began to spark something inside of you and you just want direction or guidance moving forward, these people would love to pray with you. If you got needs, health needs, family needs, come talk to them. It's what they're here for. It's their role. They're operating in to serve you. But we also have the prayer wall over there too. And that's something that we believe so much in the power of prayer. You know, it's something, and it's amazing for us as the staff because we see the problems, but we always get to go back and see the praise reports too, where God does come through for all of your needs. So put your request there, and we'd love to pray with them. And just leaving out of here today, think about this stuff. Think about who you are. Do you know yourself? And I think the answer is in God. And it's really discovering, you know, go out and begin the journey of discovering who you are and your purpose, and be transformed. You guys are dismissed. Thank you.